Welcome to episode 288 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There will be links with more information available on the show page today, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
We're back?
Yeah. Hmm. Again, we say we're back.
I know.
We did. They didn't hear the other again with the again. And the. Well, let's not get into that.
That happened before. Okay.
Space.
Hey!
I kept saying in the intro over the last, I don't know how many episodes. Several.
Yeah.
This is one part of a series on, yeah. Well, this is another series.
Oh, okay,
except this is the first one. Not just one.
Welcome to the beginning of something.
Yes. We are going to space.
Okay.
It's about space travel.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do we get there?
We light something on fire.
You can actually trace the beginnings of what we needed to be able to understand to before we were human.
Oh.
And me in the Stone Age, right? Every series is probably going to start in the Stone Age somehow.
Well, no, this is progress. We're not at the Big Bang. This is progress. Yeah.
I was going to start by talking about primates.
Mm-hmm.
Since the chimpanzees have been observed using spears.
Yeah.
They don't throw them. They just chew the end
to
sharpen it and then, you know, jam it in a hole and see if they caught anything.
So tools.
Yeah. And then there's also primates that are known to throw things other than humans.
Why would they throw humans?
Okay. Other than humans, there are other primates known to throw things. I'm not sure what the whole list is, but bonobos, chimpanzees, gorillas, I think macaques, and maybe rhesus monkeys.
Okay, yeah.
And probably a few others, but you know. But the thing is, they're not very good at it. Humans are actually by far and away the best at throwing things.
Oh, yeah. Well, we make careers for people that can throw balls really fast and accurately. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I was reading an article about our ability to throw in Little League.
Yeah. Oh.
Kids are like 12, 13 years old, and they're routinely throwing balls that are 60 to 70 miles an hour.
Oh, wow. I never did that.
And presumably, occasionally, they hit the strike zone.
Otherwise, you put them in right field. That's where I was.
Professional pitchers can be thrown at more than 90 balls an hour.
90 balls an hour.
And doing pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch. 90 balls an hour, you're right. 90 miles an hour.
How does that not destroy your arm?
It does, actually.
Oh, well, okay, that answers that question.
Overuse injuries.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out there's some anatomicalness going on, like a widened pelvis, lowered shoulders, and something funky with the upper arm bone that I don't get.
Oh, between kids, puberty happens.
No. Between humans and other primates.
Oh, okay.
All these things allow us to throw better. We've also got extra elasticity in the tendons and muscles of our shoulder.
Okay.
We've been designed to throw well. But, you know, you rear the arm back, and then you can twist your torso, and the arm snaps forward.
Oh, yeah,
You get all that elastic energy back. Pretty fast movement, too. The fastest ever pitch?
Yeah.
105.8 miles an hour.
The point was important.
Well, yeah. By the time you get to 100 plus miles an hour, the points are important.
Hmm.
These anatomical differences that allow us to throw like this seem to have happened about 2 million years ago with the arrival of Homo erectus.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Coincidentally, in the fossil record, or the anthropological record, you know, the rocks.
Yeah.
Suddenly a lot more stone tools, and you're starting to find bones that show signs of the animal having been butchered.
Oh, hey.
It's almost like we got really good at hunting shortly after we got really good at throwing things.
And is that where we, erectus implies, that's where we start standing straight up?
Yep.
Okay.
There's also some evidence, not direct, that we also, that's when we lost our body hair. Or it became finer, you know, assuming you're not Italian.
Yeah. Yeah. I dated this girl once. Her arm hair. Anyway, what?
All right. So we want to pick a particular spot and say, hey, here's the beginning of our trip to the stars.
Okay.
So somebody started twisting things together.
Okay.
Rope. String.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I still don't know how to make rope.
The first string is 30,000 years old. That's the oldest one we found.
Wow.
But there's evidence in a Neanderthal site from 71,000 years... no, I'm sorry, 90,000 years ago. There's some twisted together plant fibers.
Oh, they were working up to it.
They also had a bunch of ornamental things like bones and shells and beads.
Well, that they made a necklace.
That implies they wore it on a cord.
Yeah.
So, why is that possibly our step towards the stars? Well, first of all, we have to get through all the crap we said on Monday. Welcome back.
Hey, this glad to be here.
First recording of 2021. Not the first thing they'll hear.
No.
Them. Both of them.
Yeah.
I think the long vacation may have been an error.
Wait, why?
Well, I was supposed to do all this stuff.
I remember. Yeah.
And pieces of it happened, but
crows and ducks. Yeah.
But if you want the honest truth, I usually start researching for the show on Sunday. And the 1st of January was on Friday. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have New Year's Day and then get to work the day after that. Or the
Bad
day after
idea.
The day.
Yeah.
No. I think I'm just going to take at least 2 days.
Yeah.
But we're back.
Yes. Yes.
And we're going to space.
Space. There's a sound I want, and I'm not going to bore you with it, but yeah.
That started. Well,
I don't know what to tell you. I can't mimic it. I don't have the sound bite. Why mention it?
Okay, so since we do this here at the lab, I'm going to try it back. We're going to start with the Stone Age.
Okay.
I think we might even be able to get all the way through ancient Greece, but I have to double check.
Well, if we start with the Stone Age in space, space is older.
Okay, well, this brings me to my thing. I'm like, I'm trying to plan this out.
Okay.
I thought it'd be, since I don't have anything yet. Do you want to include astronomy in this?
Oh.
Because I really don't. I was thinking the history of and-ness of space travel.
Oh, okay.
Rather than all that.
How does that start with the Stone Age?
Uh-huh.
There was giants back then. They would lunge monkeys into space.
It was a thing. Get together on Tuesdays.
Yeah. But, well, yeah, as far as the
Slings
Stone
and arrows.
Oh, right. Rockets. Propulsion.
Yeah.
Launching shit.
That, well, you know, I'm saying what it is. That'll happen to the rest of the episode. I'm thinking about including a little bit about boats.
Okay.
Just because, you know, fluid dynamics, fluid actually counting for either a liquid or a gas.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And, a bit of the history of airplanes in general.
But we get to talk about types of rockets. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Cause okay.
Well, that's another thing. Should we include the history of cold?
Cold?
Yes. Because modern rockets, use liquid propellants, including liquid oxygen.
Okay.
That stuff has to get really cold.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, some of this stuff will get like 3 paragraphs and 1 bad joke, so
yeah.
It won't take long.
we'll find out, I guess. We just need a starting point.
Right.
The Stone Age.
Oh, and... as long as we're talking about the history of airplanes, should we include the internal combustion engine?
Yeah, because that was really big for airplanes.
Yeah, and actually the jet engine started as an assist for prop plane thing. You know what? There'll be a whole episode about it.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So since we've made no decisions, I think we're done. Let's go. So we're back out of Monday.
Yeah.
Even though today feels more like a Monday to me than Monday did.
Really?
But well, that's my own issue.
Well, I don't know. But there's a plan.
All right. So what's with string being a big deal?
Yeah.
All right. One thing a string lets you do is make a bow.
Oh, okay.
The oldest intact bow. Well, it's not intact. It's in 5 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
It was found in a peat bog in Ireland.
Oh, those are great.
And it's recognizably a bow. I mean, there's a place to rest your arrow. There's the legs of it have been sanded flatter. You know, there's a curve to it. It's a bow.
Yeah, okay. So
that's about 10,000 years old. And by the time, it's a sophisticated tool.
Mm-hmm.
So the early attempts had to be way earlier. And there's some what looked like arrowheads. in Europe from about 20,000 years ago.
Oh, man. Okay.
But this is where I got the 71,000 years ago. There are some arrowhead-like tools, stone things, in a Neanderthal site from 71,000 years ago. I think it's in France somewhere.
France.
Which is also Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting thing about this is it's a multi-stage process. They had to heat the stone before they worked with it.
Oh, really?
And then whatever haft they used, whether they were actually making arrows or using darts, they had to make the haft, and they had to attach the two things together.
Yeah, yeah.
Another interesting trick that happened with bows and arrows, and I'm not sure how soon it happened. I couldn't find any information.
Mm-hmm.
But you put feathers on the end.
Oh, that's right.
And specifically in a pattern that makes the bow spin along its long axis after you fire it, because it's more stable. It flies further.
That's why footballs, you want to get the spin.
Exactly the same thing, like the spiral on the football.
Hmm.
So we're starting to learn how things fly through the air and how to make them do it better.
Uh-huh. I've been curious about this bow thing this whole time.
Well, by the time you get to fins.
Projectiles. And yes, fins, yes.
All right, another thing we could make with string, cord, yarn, what have you.
Yeah.
Cloth.
Oh, yes. Oh, is that, that's textiles, right?
Well, okay. Well, let's go with rope first.
Oh, okay.
Because we did this thing called boating.
Okay.
With boats.
Yeah, well, that's how you boat. Hard to boat without a boat.
Yeah, it's theorized that some of the first boats were probably just tied together bundles of whatever floated.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly in Egypt, they made boats out of reeds forever.
Yeah, when you're a kid, you think of a raft, you're just tying sticks together.
Yes, which you need rope to do.
Yes.
Rope also comes in handy for things like nets and so forth. The first boat, the oldest boat we've ever recovered, I forget where it came from, was a dugout from about 10,000 years ago.
Dugout canoe. Oh, yeah, right.
You know, you fell the tree, you take off the limbs, and you dig it out until it's boat-shaped, often using fire to help, you know, speed the process up.
Because why would you work hard if you don't have to?
Yes.
And we have fire.
About 5,400 years ago in Egypt, they took that cloth we were talking about earlier, because I got things out of order, and made a sail.
Oh, hey.
Catch the wind.
Yeah, all this paddling is so boring.
Well, actually, it was a combination. They had a square sail, which is a downwind sail.
Oh, that's right.
And oarsmen.
Okay.
Both to be able to go upwind, and presumably because, well, everyone needs a job, right?
If we were doing it earlier, it makes you go faster. Yeah.
About 2,200 years ago, the first triangle sails start showing up. Now, the neat thing about these is that through some sort of magic sailing thing I don't understand.
Tacking into the wind, yes.
Like, if you got a square sail, you don't have, like, the wind's coming out of the north.
Yeah.
Going to the south. You don't have to go straight south. You could go southwest or southeast.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You got a triangle sail. The wind's coming from the north and blowing south. You can go northwest or northeast.
Yes, very much
and
so.
And you can go, say, northwest for a while and then turn and go northeast for a while and zigzag your way or tack your way straight upwind.
Actually, the most I have my small boat sailing merit badge, and it's you're probably going faster when you're going with the wind, but it doesn't feel like it. When you're tacking, it leans the boat over and it makes all this noise. It's the most exciting part of sailing, period, amen.
Much more fun than going with the wind, when you just bring your own stink along with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Around the same time period that the triangular sail and actually something called fore and aft rigging, that I also don't understand, that used triangular sails. In China, there were kites.
Kites.
You take what you know about fabric and some of that handy string stuff, and we've got the first thing we can reliably point to and go, look, it flies.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some evidence of it happening as early as the 3rd century BC. But really, really certain when this general used it as a survey marker.
Oh, yeah. I was about to ask if there was any purpose, because we just fly kites for fun, generally speaking.
Yeah, and it seems like that's what they were doing mostly, too. But if there's the enemy wall, you don't want to get too close to it. They'll throw things at you. Humans, we're good at it. So the general unfurls a kite until it's definitively further than the wall.
Uh-huh.
And they know the hypotenuse now because they know the length of the string they've unfurled.
Oh, yeah.
Do a little trigonometry, and you know how long you need to dig the tunnel to get under the wall. Which wow. They then did and won the day.
Neat. Okay.
So now that we've absolutely gotten into the air, we should probably talk about this other thing from China called gunpowder.
Yeah.
But I think we'll talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.